You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, a podcast exclusive.
Risky move.
Just when you thought the show could not be more diluted.
Walk the plank.
Bam!
No more free Disney trips.
Now here's the marching band of nowhere.
Arr, matey.
Fat face.
Dan's been stress eating.
And the habitual liar.
Stugatz can't be trusted.
The Big Suey.
Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate radio life for me.
Oh, I found something that's better than the Welcome to Moe's. That's just as polite. When you go to Cold Stone, and they're like, hey, follow me to the stone. And I'm like, okay. Ooh, yeah. I'll follow you to the stone. It's delightful.
Nah, Moe's is better than that. Welcome to Moe's is better than that
welcome
one.
Welcome to Moe's. You can put it on your own personal touch, mm-hmm. but it's just like, hey, you over there. Just come on.
Cold Stone, I feel like you're on stage too much, though. They make too big of a deal. Moe's, I think, is good. They greet you. You kind of walk in. You put your head down. You go through the aisles. Cold Stone, I feel like I'm on stage. Like, I have to react to them. I have to respond to them. You know? I don't like that.
They both sing when you tip them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cold Stone's is weird, man. They have to, like, pummel your ice cream before they give it to you.
Yeah. Their forearms must be so strong.
Is that weird? You think that's weird?
They scoop it out, they put it on this like flat surface, and then they gotta like you want some brownies in there? I'm not just gonna put them in there, I'm gonna mash them in there with these big utensils.
Isn't that what you're paying for though? Aren't you actually paying for, I mean, it's also delicious ice cream and it's super decadent and rich and the most magical thing you've ever had in your mouth, but aren't you sort of paying for the idea that they have to do the show of pounding your ice cream, even though they're not really doing much of anything.
They have to pound it into the stone. That's cold.
I don't even think it's the best show with ice cream. Have you been to those nitrogen ice cream places?
Those places need to get over themselves. It's like, I don't know. It's like a science experiment.
Exactly. Finally, someone said it. Jeez.
And I don't want nitrogen with my... just want ice cream. How about that?
Thank you.
One, two.
You know what I want with my ice cream? Chocolate syrup. And gummy bears sometimes, and cookie dough when it's safe to eat, because sometimes it's safe and sometimes it's not, depending on if there's eggs or not. But not nitrogen, all right?
Now,
that sounds like I'm going to get sick.
Dippin' Dots is another story, though. That was a great...
Yeah, that's another thing. I love Dippin' Dots.
Dippin' Dots are great.
Mm-hmm.
A little rest stop ice cream. That's the perfect rest stop ice cream.
Oh, no, Dippin' Dots.
Ice cream of the future.
Dippin' Dots has got to be such a ripoff, because if you actually melt the Dippin' Dots, you realize how much less ice cream you're getting than a conventional scoop.
Ugh.
It's the future, Mike, okay?
Yeah,
that's how ice cream is in the future.
I went N2. It's actually N7 there.
Guillermo, can you please put it on the poll? Because I want to make sure I've got this question right, because he lobbed it in the middle of that frenzy arguing about ice cream. At Le Batard Show, I want to see if I have this right in order to honor him, the oaf. Chris, did you say that nitrogen ice cream needs to get over itself? Is that...
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like, I don't need science with my ice cream, okay?
So put it on the poll, please, Guillermo. Does nitrogen ice cream need to get over itself?
Science is how you get your ice cream, Chris.
Oh, man, I was so ready there. I thought you were agreeing with me, Roy. I was ready to be like, thank you, Roy.
I never agree with you.
What does science have to do with ice cream?
It's ice cream.
Good job, Billy.
Mike, would you be kind enough, please, to just get that sound again? Because there were a couple of things from the weekend in basketball that were fun. I think these are the main things, although I think petty Heat fans might enjoy something from this weekend as well. But I think the funny sports stories in basketball, I think I have this right from the weekend, were the Draymond Green Rodney thing, which was just an amazing. It really did feel, it did feel like it felt a little bit like soap opera NBA crack cocaine.
The hell out of here, tough guy Rodney.
It's the best.
No, and so then, and it's also, I think second place is the way that Damian Lillard ended. He ended a Bulls game. It was an amazing game. Okay, the Bulls are up two. There's just a scramble for the ball, and Lillard ends up with the ball and has the presence of mind to just immediately put up a three, wins the game at the buzzer. It's ridiculous. He was shooting over a guy who's 6'11", who was guarding the play ridiculously well, and everybody was amazed by Damian Lillard and what he did in that moment. Those were two of the things. I believe that Mike has the third. Mike, you go ahead. And I'm not even, I don't even know if you're going to go Nets. I don't know if you're going to go Nets because that would be.
Oh, that loss that last
would,
night?
That would be a fourth incredible one, but you're not going to go Nets, right?
I'm not going to go Nets, although I will just say once again, I'm going to do this every day, trade for Bradley Beal. He's amazing. That was a crazy finish. It went viral. I think Juju posted on at Levitard Show if you haven't seen it. But no, Eric Reed has been salty this season. I don't know if you guys have caught on to this.
This is so good. Do you guys know what he's going to be talking about here? Chris, you have felt this. Eric Reed is a...
I felt the vibe of Eric Reed this year, for
okay,
sure.
Okay, well, I don't want to state this incorrectly because I want to explain this because we have different listeners from different parts during different parts of the show. Big Suey isn't the local hour, but locally here in Miami, we have Eric Reed, a broadcaster who is an original Heat broadcaster. He introduced generations here to this team and sports and loving sports, and he's been there since the beginning. He's a Hall of Famer, a legend by any standard in the local community, a professional of the highest order from a different time, really, because we're all getting old, of broadcasting professionalism, always supportive of the team and not negative, but not infomercial and just classy and professional. And you just sort of trusted him. And he's just seems like a really good person. And so he's been the voice of the team since it's existed. And that voice has never been anything but maybe nasal, but also sweet. It's been a sweet voice, but he is cutting fools down by the knees this season. And it's stunning to see. He hit Hassan Whiteside with a backup center. The backup center for the Kings. And then when Duncan made a three, he sort of fairly woofed. We got shooters. We got shooters, which is the thing Hassan said when he went to Portland, when he did get shooters, Damian Lillard, but Miami Heat got shooters too. He's just cutting fools' heads off.
He hit him with a he who shall not be named. His very first touch of the game, Hassan Whiteside, gets the ball in the post, and Eric Reed's like, the backup center for the Sacramento Kings loses the ball to Kelly Olynyk. Immediate turnover. He'd go the other way. And yeah, he does the we got shooter. So he's like subtweeting players and games that he's calling. And I don't know what his problem is with Blake Griffin, but he cut his head off in one of the games.
But why is Eric Reed doing this? He's one of the kindest men I've ever met in my life.
One of the nicest people ever. And I'm loving this sort of, it's not a heel turn because it's honestly shocking.
It's the classy professional Hall of Famer all of a sudden at the very end. Oh my God, he's got a shiv. He's got, where did that come from? Did he fashion it in a prison when no one was looking? He is able to cut players and just puncture them with a shiv in the thigh.
I love it because that's what the Miami Heat radio broadcast is, a lot more opinionated because Mike Inglis is there and he's just one of those more surly types. Eric Reed is always just class personified. And I'm not saying this is not classy at all. I'm enjoying this new Eric Reed, but he usually leaves the opinion for his color analyst.
It means more because he's classy. Like Mike Inglis doesn't, Look, Mike Inglis doesn't go for class. He sidles up next to you at a bar and he tells you about the game. And when there's a 10-point run that the other team has, even when it's LeBron, Wade, and Bosch, it's apocalyptic. He just yells at the television. He's been that radio broadcaster in this town for a long time.
But you're right. The reason it's so jarring and shocking is because of how classy Eric Reed is. This would be like Vin Scully doing this. I'm not putting Eric Reed in Vin Scully's category, but Vin Scully, a very nice man.
No, but wait a minute. But in Miami, he is absolutely Vin Scully. He is the longest tenured broadcaster who is liked because he's been there since the beginning. And you are so he's the voice of the team. That's in a very literal way. The voice of the team is a little bit nasally, but it's super loyal. And it's got a lifetime job, even as some of the names next to him change and television changes and everything changes. Eric Reed is, by any standard, Vin Scully in this market for our sports announcing history. And it's a short list of people, right? The broadcasters who have come through here, Boog will now be that somewhere else for someone else in Chicago.
Right.
Boog is going to be that kind of broadcaster.
But you're talking about guys down here, you're saying?
In the history of our broadcast career, the guys who have had the most lasting impact because they've just been associated with a team that brought up your kids and your dad watched him. And you're like
John Sterling with the Yankees or Michael Kay with the Yankees, or, you know, I'm trying to think of someone else down here. Maybe Jim Mandich with the Dolphins.
He was there from the very beginning. Now, he was there from the very beginning as a color analyst, which was kind of weird. But then he became the play-by-play voice, and he's been there the entire time the franchise has been here. Not many people can say that for a franchise that's close to 40 years old. He's been the lone voice associated with it since the beginning.
I think he misses Tony Fiorentino. There, I said it.
That's it?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
That was so unnecessary. We were just talking in nice terms about it, and now you brought it back to Fiorentino, who Billy thinks I ran off, or we ran off, or Mike Ryan ran off. Billy, you sat that one out when I feel like you were instigating that one.
No. That was a Stugatz and Mike thing. They were leading the charge and getting that man fired for whatever reason.
You're right.
I wanted to sit back. I don't know Tony, but listen, one day we're all going to be Tony Fiorentino, right? And we want some young bucks on the radio yucking it up, driving us out of town? No, we probably won't.
It's
going to happen to us inevitably.
I mean, do you understand that we're in that space right now? Like right now we are unemployed. Everyone here is working off of severance. Right now we are floating spaceship in that space. And we sound confident. But we're floating around scared, and Stugatz buried his mother yesterday, and we're doing these shows for free, and nobody's getting paid. And in the middle of this, as we talk about broadcasters, Whittingham, I want to explain to people here as you join, clamor aboard the pirate ship here, and you've heard his voice temporarily, but Whittingham is officially aboard here. He has scampered on, and if you do not know his history, Whittingham is an amazing broadcaster who was an amazing broadcaster like 16 years old, where we were playing his clips in Miami on just very early on, his clips at the college station.
I love how your timeline of Chris Whittingham gets younger and younger. You have him now as a 16-year-old at college at VUM.
Chris, did you do any play-by-play at the age of 16?
He was a prodigy.
No, I was a fetus and I was doing play-by-play.
Was he not a child prodigy as a broadcaster, yes or no?
Well, no, he wasn't a child.
All right.
Prodigy.
Okay. Whatever.
I think he was 20, Dan.
He was
in college.
He was very
he can be
good
a prodigy,
at his job.
But not a child prodigy. We keep making him younger and younger. You were just a sweet little innocent baby when you started listening to us, right?
Yeah, I started listening. It was headlines drawn from the Terrell Owens show back in the day. I was like, I need to listen to this show, and I've been a listener ever since.
In Dan's defense, be gentle with us, man. We're getting older. Like, this stuff is going to happen. The timelines are off. I mean, we're going through a lot. We're stressed out. My mom is no longer with me.
Thank you,
Scott.
I needed that support.
It wasn't forced at all. I'm just saying, Dan and I are getting old, and we could use, like, you guys just coddle us a little. Like, just stop being so mean.
You literally could have said Super Bowl week as an excuse.
You're right.
You went with your mother.
You're 100%. Okay. Take that out, Mike.
Okay, no, leave it in.
Dan, leave it in. I just defended you, Dan.
You got to leave it in.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan. I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports, with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
I have a situation I need to discuss with you guys. There is a I don't know how to do this. Amongst a sea of text of people wishing me their condolences. Very nice. There is, because COVID happened so quickly, there is still a friend, a good friend, I would say, that does not know. And he checked in last night. I feel so bad. I don't know how to respond. It said, how's mom doing? And you guys seem mortified. It's okay. We can laugh a little bit. It's my mom.
It's awkward, though.
I know it is. But how do I respond to this particular person?
Hold on. You should probably tell him what happened. Wait,
well, he's going to feel so bad.
You can't text that. You can't text. She's dead.
That's exactly what I would do.
No, come on.
I would revel in the opportunity to do that. I have so much fun with that.
You're becoming dark,
man.
What's
the matter with you?
I have so much fun because a lot of people just assume that someone my age has both of their parents. So I love dropping that dead fish in people's laps. Just here, I'll write the text.
Okay.
No.
Maybe send a meme or a GIF to kind of lighten the mood a little bit along with it.
Chris!
I love Billy responding.
Wait a minute. This is an actual thing that's happening with Stugatz. He's now mentioned it three or four times. He's like, he is now not, as if Stugatz isn't carrying around enough in terms of weight and grief, he now is carrying around also, how do I help this friend who has waded into this mess? He's a little late to the game. He's arrived 2 days after the funeral, and he's asking me, hey, John, how's your mom doing by text? You can't hit him there, Mike, with a she's dead.
Okay, then use a cliche. Just respond pushing daisies.
That's on his friend, though, honestly. Like, if you're going to wait that long, you need to do what everyone else does and just ask around. Like, you need to start asking other people so that doesn't happen. That's what I was doing. I was like, hey, has anyone heard how Stugatz's mom's doing? Like, you need to ask other people so that you don't have that situation.
I just don't know. I want to respond. I just don't. And, Mike, if I respond your way, he's going to be hurt, like deeply hurt. He's going to feel bad, and I'm not going for that. But I just found it funny. Like, hey, how's your mom doing?
I found a funny GIF that you could send. It says, bam, she's dead.
Oh, come on, man. Come on.
What's the picture?
It's somebody in a do-rag. I also found something from The Affair from Showtimes where it's just a caption, she's dead. That's how you lighten the mood. Attach it to a GIF. I'm going to send you a few options.
All right, thanks. I appreciate it.
Ooh, I found one of Tony Sperano with the it's
burying
just regular
the football?
Meme. No, it's just, she's dead to me.
Burying the football.
Yeah, he buried a football, don't you remember?
I do remember that he did bury a football. Wait a minute. You thought Mike was going to call up a GIF of Tony Soprano. No, Tony which
you again, always confuse him and
Sperano.
Sperano, yeah.
Coincidentally, they're both dead.
Yeah. Wildcat.
Oh, God, Mike.
What?
I mean, it's factual, but Jesus.
It's just the facts.
Yeah.
Oh,
very
my
morbid.
God.
Just putting very morbid.
Yeah, I thought Mike was going to send me Tony Sperano burying a football. I mean,
No. But this one should kill.
Oh, jeez.
Hey.
Don't do that. Like, all right, so can I backtrack for just a second here, Stugatz?
Billy's more uncomfortable with this than I am.
It sounds like Stugatz.
Ooh, just send him. Do you have Apple Music? Send him Daryl Hall and John Oates says she's gone.
Just I could send him. I could send he's gone. He's a dead fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But it's your mom.
Yeah. You don't want him to think your dad died, too, unless you want to run that as a joke, and then I'm totally with you.
No.
He's crossed the line. Well, Chris, you egged him on. You laugh now. You're like, okay, Mike, now you've crossed the line. You egged him on. It's your fault.
How's this my fault?
Can you imagine
sitting here
receiving a text message back from Stugatz after you just genuinely, even though you've missed the boat on finding out that she's passed on, just getting the response of a music video from 1976's She's Gone from Hall & Oates. I want to be with that person in the room.
Well,
see
hold
how
on
he processes
a second,
it.
Hold on. Is it a person? Is it a friend of yours who gets the show, Stugatz? Can you send him a video message of you and Mike dancing to that song or something in
dancing.
The ballroom?
I don't know.
Call him on air, maybe?
Yeah,
I swear to God, I was just going to say we're 2 seconds away from someone suggesting we call him on air to deliver the news. No, so you're not. Right.
That's a great
seconds.
Idea.
We're not doing
That's
it.
A great time. Idea.
Well, how you close add
him
are
on the,
you to
Break
him?
It to them
Sell
on
it to
the
him
Zoom.
As a cameo. Sell it to him. Make some money off the deal.
I am not the friend you want in this spot.
All I'm doing, I think I'd be okay with all of this. I'm processing my dad listening to the show later. That's kind of what I'm doing right now.
Oh, then, yeah, I should walk my whole routine
well,
back.
Well, but your dad, okay, look, I don't want to keep, hey, I guess.
But I did send pretzels.
There's no avoiding
I didn't
going
get them yet.
Back from.
I paid overnight.
Back and forth on all the nonsense here. That there is to go through in terms of emotions, because you go through the grief and you go through the laughter. And I don't mean to borrow Stugatz's pain here, but we have seen him hurting here recently. And I don't actually know whether to talk about the Nets game.
I was laughing when I was, this is a bad way to frame this, but when I was purchasing the Shivik gift,
yeah.
You know where I went to? Shiva.com. I'm like, Stugatz would find this funny.
I would.
Because actually, that's always your comedic device.
Yes.
I found it at Power Forwards from the DenverNuggets.com, Dan. There's a Shiva.com.
That's a good idea. I should have thought of it.
I was not aware that
you sent the pretzels to my dad, by the way.
Yeah.
So maybe he got them.
I hope so.
Okay.
Can you find out for me?
I will text him and say, did you get Mike's
I didn't
pretzels?
Get a thank you, which I kind of thought was like, meh.
He's got a lot on his mind, but I'll check. I'll see. Maybe he wants to call in.
Wait a minute. Was Mike classier than any of us? Because I did not know to send a Shiva gift. I did not. Did any of us other than Mike send the Shiva gift?
I don't know what a Shiva gift is, but I sent something.
I sent something. It's going to show up on Wednesday.
I sent a text.
I got your text. Job. Thank
job,
you,
Billy.
Bill.
Yep. Sounds like Billy didn't ship it yet.
It sounds like mine's the only one that got there.
Oh, well, my text got there.
Yeah, so. My text got there. Too.
Yeah, all your texts.
You did it more than a text?
All your texts.
Where's the Hakeem Nix laugh there?
You he deserved it.
That's deserved
good
yeah, joke.
You deserved the Hakeem Nix laugh there.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Nets for a second in that Nets game last night, because Stugatz, did you see that you did make time in your grief to get all of the details? Because I had one overwhelming feeling, okay? Because when you look at the numbers on these Nets, Stugatz, it's wonderful, okay? The Nets have an offensive efficiency right now that is the best in the history of the sport. They're number one in the league, best in the history of the sport. And they're trending toward never better offensively than this team. And defensively, their rating is the worst in the sport and then the worst in the history of the sport by miles. And so they are terrible defensively, and you simply cannot win a championship if you are that terrible defensively. But you're going to be fun as hell to watch, because you got three trolls on your team and they're going to play a lot of offense and they're not going to be able to guard anybody. And so last night they are up 5 with 11 seconds, 9 seconds left as Bradley Beal is coming over half court. That's a game. So the Wizards are down 5. They're losers. Bradley Beal is on this crazy tear, Stugatz, where he's got 10 straight losses in games where he's scored 40 or more points. 10 straight losses. It's the longest streak in the history of the sport.
It seems like he should score less than 40. I mean,
okay, that is good math by you. But
selfish.
So down 5, he comes down with 9 seconds left, and he hits a 3. And then the inbound is sloppy, and Russell Westbrook, the worst shooter by percentage in the history of the league, and that team fractured apart because of everything that happened with Durant and Westbrook, and that team could have, with Harden, been winning championships across this last decade when Kyrie and LeBron were fighting over him. And then right in Kevin Durant's face, Russell Westbrook, right, that player on a loser team, this is the end of Westbrook's career. He's not going to get many moments like this. He got the MVP and average a triple-double, but everyone can see that's not going to age terribly well with efficiencies going from Wizards. And he'll play 4 years in the league, and the usage rate can't be what it is and be on a good team. He hits a 3. He's terrible at threes. He's been terrible, like, by volume, worst in the history of the sport, right in Durant's face. Durant is crestfallen. The Wizards beat the Nets, and now the crushing pressure starts on the Nets, where they become something that we're laughing at. But in the middle of all that, as the internet howled and laughed, I managed somehow to feel bad for someone. Do you guys know? Can any of you, because I did not enjoy that video, did not enjoy laughing at the three trolls in the Nets. And this is why they exist right now. It's why they're the most interesting team in the sport, Stugatz. Like, the Sixers are the best team in the sport right now. Mike's going to have to eat it there, I think, very soon. I don't think he's going to be able to hold off now that they've got shooters and they're going after J.J. Redick.
The Clippers.
The Sixers are really good. Utah is really good. But, Mike, you are now officially scared of the Sixers, correct?
No. No, I'm not scared of the Sixers. How did they do in the playoffs last year? They didn't make it out of the first round. They got a lot of ground to make up right now. And I understand they're up, what, 6 games on the Miami Heat? They don't hand championships out in, what month are we in? Well, the NBA calendar's all screwy.
It's January.
Either way.
February.
Well, we've been there. Jeez.
It's February.
We've been there. As recently as October. I'm so confused by this timeline.
You're 7 games behind them, Mike.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, a little nervous. Mm-hmm.
Dan, I think you felt bad for Joe Harris, the guy that was inbounding the ball and that got the withering stare from Durant.
Okay,
after the
let me describe this for the
Joe
audience.
Joe Harris had a big game, 30 points.
There, I mean. Nicely done, Stugatz. That is correct. And so
Durant stare in the mirror.
Okay, but much like the aforementioned, okay, Rodney Magruder, just like saying that name that way derisively, is comedically funny. I want to laugh at Joe Harris for being the guy at the center of all of that, where he made the bad inbound and then the ball just goes to Westbrook and you see him flail, you see him want to blame somebody, you see him realize, no, this is my mistake. You see the fear in his eyes as Westbrook rises up and he's thinking to himself, oh, I'm going to lose this game with that pass. This is going to feel really terrible for me. I've had a good game. I've scored 30 points. I've been a good player. But now my name is Joe Harris, and here comes the ball. And, of course, it's going to go in the net because my name is Joe Harris, and I am going to deflate. And the withering stare that Kevin Durant is going to give me as he inbounds the ball and says, I'm Kevin Durant, and you're Joe Harris. And, Joe Harris, this is going to fall on me. The internet is going to laugh at me because I've been avatars and eggs wandering around the internet looking for validation. And the internet's going to fall on me, and it's your fault, Joe Harris. And I want you guys to look at the body language of Joe Harris because he absorbs that as, you're right, Kevin. It is my fault. I just did that to you.
It seems like what you feel bad about simply is his name is Joe Harris. I mean, and you're right. I mean, if Rodney Magruder was Rod Magruder, would it be different? Could he be the guy that he wants to be? I think he could be,
Rod's
right?
Rod's tougher.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to feel bad about the dude that missed the bunny at the end of that game because that was an insane sequence. Kyrie Irving made a pass and found a wide-open dude under the basket, and it was a bunny that he missed. Worse than Tim Duncan's. His name is Timothy Luwawu Carborough.
So I didn't even see the last. Wait a minute. So you're telling me that 4.5 seconds left in that game, the Nets got an easy shot? I didn't even see the last 4.5
Kyrie found
seconds.
Somebody right under the basket on an inbounds.
TLC. Mike, I'm floating right now.
Yeah?
You know, I'm trying to process my dad and whether or not he's going to be okay with all this. I have to go back and listen first.
Yeah. Maybe sit this one out if you're your dad.
Yeah.
Let him know, hey, off day.
Tell him we had a bad show. Yeah, tell him I wasn't
just
there.
No, it was an off day. President's Day. Is that today?
We weren't on today. That's a good idea, Bill. I like that.
When do you think he's going to text me back a thank you?
He didn't get them yet. I texted him. Yeah.
I paid $35 for overnight shipping.
Okay, he said he didn't get them yet. Otherwise, he would have thanked you already.
It's a sweet and a salty crunch. It's like a chocolate-covered pretzel. I was very proud of it.
He didn't get it yet.
Yep. Well, that's disappointing.
It is.
Because I paid a lot of money for that.
I know. Got a lot of nice gifts from a lot of people. It was very nice.
I sent mine to Stugatz. Now I feel like a jerk.
What was the nicest gift you got?
Oh, I got some, Bomani sent a nice flower arrangement. Sarah Spain did the same. Super grateful. John Skipper, our new boss, did the same.
Goyam. Every single
one. Who was the nicest flower arrangement of the bunch? Who was it?
Skipper's.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that because he's our boss. I am, but I mean.
There's no way
Skipper purchased those, right? I mean, there's no way.
I think he did.
But that's really? Thoughtful.
From what I know about him, I think he did.
Okay.
I know nothing about it.
Are you not supposed to send something other than flowers? Because I was doing some research.
You can send whatever you want.
I sent food too much.
For Shiva, it's not frowned upon. You're always going to take someone being kind to you and be grateful for
people it. People have sent food. People have sent all kinds of gifts. Someone sent a A coffee cake. I love a good coffee cake.
Yeah?
Yep. I got one of those. People have sent Prime 112 for dinner. Like, they just send you food and stuff, send you dinner. But no one's got me anything terribly original. But it's been very, it's just the thoughts, getting something from Sarah Spain the next day. I mean, super thoughtful. She's great. And I wasn't surprised that that was the first gift that arrived at my door.
So hers that's how got she there. Is. Hers yeah. got there next day. Oh, did she go to Shiva.com? I'm going to text her. I'm very mad at Shiva.com right now.
Pretzels? What kind of pretzels did you say?
They're chocolate covered. It's artisanal, sweet, and crunchy. I was very artisanal. Happy with this. Yeah. Yeah, it says.
I mean, that's like nitrogen.
Your artisanal, eye, I mean, sweet, doing? And crunch tray.
What does that
tray.
Mean? What does artisanal mean? What does it mean?
You know.
It's just an upcharge. Yeah. Just like douchey. Resort fee. What does it mean? Who knows what it means? It means an extra $20.
Put it on the poll at Levitard right. Show, Guillermo. Do you know what artisanal means? And you're just saying it's an upcharge? It's a 20% upcharge?
Yeah, they just throw that on there. I'm telling you, if you go to Burger King in the beach, if you check your receipt, you get charged a resort fee in Miami Beach for going to Burger King. That's what artisanal is. Just a word.
A fancy word. Fancy schmancy word that allows you to charge an extra $20. Billy's right about this.
Look at this. There's all sorts of peanuts, and this pretzel's covered in sprinkles, and, you know, it says it's artisanal.
Witty seems like a guy who knows what artisanal means.
Yeah, it means made in a traditional or non-mechanized way.
So Whittingham,
wow, you really lobbed that one up to Chris there.
Yes, Cody. He really did. Well done. Whittingham, can you please, I wanted to continue the conversation from before where we were talking about Eric Reed and broadcasters in this market. The place where I was headed is who are the people who shaped you through your childhood as someone who started caring about this at a very early age and decided in college this was the path for you. Eric Reed, I've got to think that you think of him as a giant in the industry, even as you can be critical of the way that he does a broadcast because you have learned things about broadcasting and you might not do X, Y, and Z the way he does it, but you were raised by this man as a broadcaster, were you not?
Yeah, and he puts out Instagrams of like his game prep and I'm absolutely blown away. But it was actually Mike Inglis that was more formative for me. I just remember always listening to WIOD in the car, and the first basketball game I ever did was just basically an impersonation of Mike Inglis on the radio. And that's kind of how most broadcasters start. It's just whatever is familiar to their ear is what they end up doing, and then they eventually form their own style. But I was kind of blown away as you guys were talking about him being critical. I've always kind of noticed. Have you noticed that when team employees or people who work for official broadcasters, all of a sudden when players leave, kind of get the knives out and they've been kind of holding on to these stories for a while? I feel like Hassan Whiteside is one that team employees have been waiting to go in on for a while.
Well, he represents over the period that Eric Reed has presided over as the voice of Heat basketball, the period of Heat basketball of Pat Riley's era and beyond, Stugatz, because he was here before Pat Riley, before yep. it became the family organization from the town, the sports crime family that we have in Miami with the Miami Heat, all lifers and loyalists, all a whole bunch of people. You never have these organizations where there's just not a whole lot of turnover.
He was there since Coach Ron Rossi, and who's still a part. If you have the NBA League Pass, you can still watch his antics during halftime, in which he screams at a producer to stop rolling tape. I'm hypnotized by it every time. He's like getting meaner.
How great is that, though? But how old?
Stop
is-
it.
How old?
Stop it.
How old is Rothstein?
Rewind. No, now go
on,
back.
Hold on. So Rothstein.
It's been, very threatening. It
Mike, go back. Now go forward.
Mike, I love that.
Stop Mike, there. Stop there. Hold it. Right here. Stop, it.
Listen,
stop it. Stop it.
Listen to me.
Hold
listen
it.
To me.
He's
listen,
78 years old.
Listen. Okay. Listen. I want you guys to understand these it. Creatures that the Miami Heat has birthed. These shriveled Van Gundy.
Pause it! Stop it!
And Rothstein's. Rothstein.
Pause! Hold right on. Now! No, what you're trying to do, there's some poor producer that has worked so hard on this video thing, and this guy just is yelling at him.
Now run it!
Now run it! Run
it! Didn't they also give him one of those easy buttons for Office Depot that he hits?
I'm convinced. He's been doing this for like 8 years now. I'm convinced Ron Rothstein thinks that that actually has power to stop it. They just gave him one of the Staples easy buttons.
Yeah, the Staples easy button.
Like, stop it. Stop it. Go ahead.
And J-Jax is so uncomfortable next to him. It's like the most, right, it's the most listen, uncomfortable television
turnover
I've ever seen.
In that job hold must on. Be insane.
Hold on. I need to explain the audience all of the backstory here because it's going to be uniquely funny to people who grew up on Miami sports And this will run the gamut, okay, from people my age, Dugat, and your age, to 20-year-olds. And this is what you need to understand about Ron Rothstein at the end here. He is a human being who is made of sandpaper, okay? This is the first thing that you know I need to understand. And he is a human being who over 78 years we have seen the coaching profession sort of grind these guys to dust, where they turn Stan Van Gundy into this squatty misery when he's coaching. He can only laugh around the microphones. Ron Rothstein is the organization's sandpaper withered. Ron, you got a lifetime job. You know why? Because you were the first coach. You did the cycle of years, buddy. You're the guy who was the first one in the door at the organization, just like Eric Reed, right next to Eric Reed. Eric Reed's jogger and fit and lives a balanced life, but you're a basketball troll from the Stone Ages. You've coached like the Pistons. You are made of sandpaper, and now you're our lead broadcaster, and you're not lovable in any way except that you're mean to people, you're cruel, and you bark stop it at producers. And yeah, they better – you listen, producers, you better stop it. You – listen, stop it. You better stop it because it's Ron Ross.
Not running. Yes. Now run it. Now run film from 2 weeks ago. Do it now. Now go forward.
I mean, I'm going to become that. Aren't I that already?
Like, yeah, I mean, you're Rothstein many times in this show.
I had 150 Rothsteins in my Zoom chat yesterday for my mom's funeral.
Where is that sound? Where is that sound? We do have the sound.
I don't think anyone here was recording Sugats' mom's funeral.
Roy, I thought I assigned that during... I thought I was giving out assignments during the funeral, telling somebody there to roll on it so we would get the sound to that Zoom call because I knew Sugats would give us permission to play it.
Well, after Stugatz's eulogy, I didn't have the heart to ask him. It was just too emotional for me.
You have the final mix soundtrack? Do you have the audio from that funeral?
I mean, I could ask someone. I have no idea who to ask, but I'll dig around. What am I doing?
The
dig
first
around.
10 minutes
Jesus
of that Zoom.
Christ. I love you,
the
Mom.
The first 10 minutes of that Zoom were amazing.
All right. How about a recreation? Because you guys were laughing about it. It was just old people yammering.
Listen, you
Lois,
guys.
Lois, is that you? I can't see you.
You guys,
where are you?
You guys.
I hear you.
You guys have taught me to find the funny in a lot of this stuff. You really have. So just hold on a second, Chris, and then get back to being Lois. Okay? You're someone searching for Lois. On the amount of people throwing down their bona fides, their resume. First off, like you turn the Zoom on and they want you to know that they're there, right? That's number one. I laughed at that. Like, hey, I know your mom. And then they're giving me credentials, like their resume, how well they knew my mom. And I found all of that amusing and just laugh out loud funny. And then you just had a bunch of people, like, they had to let me know they were in the Zoom, they're attending, and how long they've known my mom. I found that funny. I didn't want to hear it yesterday.
It was a big show. Yes. We're here.
Yes.
Funeral's about us.
John, remember me? I haven't seen you in 65. And I'm just like, oh, do me a favor, okay? My mom's no longer with me. I don't care how long you knew her. Now, Chris, go back to searching for Jewish women.
It was just 100 people trying to have different conversations. And, oh, I hear Luis. Where's Luis? Oh, nope, she's not there. I see. Oh, there she is. How are you? Oh, you're gone again. Hit mute. And it was just like 58 conversations. Like two people having one. Like it was 50 conversations on one Zoom.
I missed a lot of that, but when I logged in, I swear I heard someone say, if everybody mutes, the internet will work faster.
Yeah, that was said, yes.
It was sort of blind leading the blind in that everyone was going to Stugatz for direction, which, as crazy. You know...
I've listened to Stupidity.
That's not going to go well.
My daughters handled the entire Zoom situation. They did.
Can I ask you a legitimate question? How the... was Finney so quiet?
I was going to say the same thing.
I don't know.
Now he's quiet?
It's the landscaping crew, I'm telling you. I told you then and I'm telling you now. Whenever that landscaping crew comes around, he goes nuts. It's crazy. He was very good, though. Very well behaved.
No,
yes.
He was a good boy.
Yes.
He bit me once.
He did bite you.
And Sugat's like played it off him. Like it happens all the time. He bit me hard.
I know.
On my foot.
Sorry about
it. It hurt.
Yep.
There was a perfect spot where Finney actually barked in the middle of Stugatz's eulogy, after a joke.
Yeah. There's the Finney I know.
Well, Stugatz was weeping, I think. We haven't seen Stugatz broken up
weeping.
Like that. And
yeah.
I think at one point, Finney chose his bark. He chose to be his barkiest when Stugatz was wounded on something. Yeah. Bad timing.
Or good timing, maybe.
Hey, it's Mike Ryan, and I've been watching sports for a long time now. As an adult, a lot has changed. A lot has changed since I turned 21 in the world, but once I was able to enjoy sports with the wonderful taste of Miller Lite, I knew that there was no topping this. I mean, I think back then, instant replay was barely used in other sports outside of football. So when I wanted to complain about referees, I would get all mad, and then I would take a sip of that Miller Lite, cool myself down, take a beat, and realize there are more important things, like the great taste of Miller Lite. Less filling, and only 96 calories, the original light beer since 1975. You remember all those old John Madden ads? I still view them on YouTube occasionally. You don't have to choose what's best. Miller Lite has great taste and is less filling. Tastes like Miller time! To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers. The trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.